This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to be honest, Anthony. I still don't know what the hell you're talking about in that thing. Monday, Wednesday, hump day, this day, that day. It's Wednesday. I know that much. It's competition Wednesday. That's about all I know.
I don't mind coming to work on Mondays, Craig.
I mean, during football season, Mondays are pretty fun.
I don't mind coming on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays can be all right.
But I feel like a lot of people tread going to work on Monday. And the day of the week I tread going to work is Wednesday.
Tread or dread?
Dread.
Okay. I don't know how you tread going to work.
It must have been the chips in my mouth. Dread.
Yeah. Dread. Okay. Yeah. yeah, I mean, Wednesday's kind of like, oh, man, we still got two more days. Especially like entering work because you still haven't quite made it to the halfway point.
Exactly.
5:30 today, you're at the halfway point. Are you looking forward to 5:30 today?
No, I'm not actually. No. Oh,
why is that, Anthony? What's at 5:30 today?
Because I'll probably be spending this thing that's behind me again.
I think that's correct considering how well I did against the spread. But maybe one of the games that I incorrectly picked wound up in the competition Wednesday. Maybe I didn't do a good job with that.
Did you have a push for any of your picks?
You're gonna spin the wheel. I'm pretty sure that's how it's going today. Hate to ruin the surprise, but I haven't officially looked, but I'm pretty sure you're spinning the wheel.
All right, we'll see.
We'll see. Here's what most people are tuning in for. Not for Anthony to spin the wheel of mediocre punishment yet again. No, you want an update on Jaden Daniels. And Dan Quinn gave one a little bit earlier today. And that is where we are going to start the show. The quarterback of the future may not be the quarterback of this week based off the fact that he did not practice today. But it is definitely not a done deal yet. But he did ultimately miss practice today, which is not a great sign. I do have a kind of an off-the-wall thought that I want to run by everybody here in a moment, and I definitely want to run it by J.P. Finley, who's going to join us at 5 o'clock. But Dan Quinn said, Anthony, by the way, does this Dan Quinn full have his opening statement on it, or did they cut that off?
They cut that off.
Okay, that's annoying because that's when he gave the update on Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Per the transcript, Dan Quinn said that Jaden did not practice today. They're being conservative with it. And then he ultimately said there could be, you know, there are players that miss Wednesday and then ramp things up on Thursday and go full on Friday and play on Sunday. So we don't know what's going to happen yet. How is Jaden continuing to prepare himself, though, just in case? Here's DQ later on in the presser.
Yeah, not a lot changes in the preparation piece for him from, you know, the early mornings to the VR work to meetings to treatment and all that. And so the walkthrough portions for everybody, mostly everybody gets involved in some level. So he won't be into the practice portion today. But we love our process that we go through to get ready. And that's why we kind of have the themes of the day and what we do on specific days. So the early parts of the game plan are in, and tomorrow it's a big red zone day. So we just try to stay into that process. Good news for him. There's a lot of banked reps on a lot of plays. And so for us, there's not, 50 new plays that go in every game. So there's a lot of banked reps on the things that, he's done exceptionally well. Some plays you guys have seen being at practice that other people haven't. And so those are still banked reps that they may be new to the opponent, but they're not new to us.
Here's the other thing that I'm really glad Dan Quinn mentioned. The Commanders practice, and Jaden Daniels specifically practices, like very few players in the NFL and very few teams in the NFL. I've never heard of a team going through multiple walkthroughs in a day in the way that Washington does, and I've yet to find a player that I've talked to about this that has experienced the same exact thing. Maybe some similar stuff. There's definitely some coaches that rely more on walkthroughs than others. But the idea that for this offense specifically, the way that Jaden does, or the way that Cliff does it, let's go talk about things for 15, 20 minutes. Let's go out and let's walk it through. Then let's go back and have another meeting and then walk through that. And, you know, sometimes it's 2-3 times a day they go through the walkthrough periods of their install because they know that not everyone can sit in a classroom and learn stuff. That's just not how learning styles work. That is something that I don't know how many jobs have walkthroughs in corporate America, but like the idea of finding a way to reach people differently other than sitting through another boring meeting presentation, some people that's really beneficial. Sit in your meeting, take your notes. Okay, got it. I remember it. I can go out to the practice field and do it perfectly. Some people are going to get a little bit of an idea in their head, and then they go out to the practice field. And as a player told me, they don't expect it to be perfect when they go out to the practice field to walk through. That is the place to experiment. That is the place to go, oh, hey, nope, you're supposed to do this here instead of that. Or, hey, make sure you watch for this. And it comes alive in a way that it doesn't in the classroom. And if Jaden can still participate in that, okay, well, now we're on track. And the thing is about an injury designation, that is official. That is something the NFL monitors. And it is not about walkthroughs. Jaden can go through the walkthroughs, not through practice, and still be listed as a DNP. Also, and this is something that I had thought of earlier today, even before I heard Dan Quinn mention it there, but I'm glad that he did, although it takes away from some of the originality of my thought. Jaden's virtual reality work could save him this week. Because physically, the best thing for him to do is rest. The physically best thing for him to do is just allow that rib, whatever it is, whether it's one of the muscles, whether it's the cartilage, whatever it is, to heal. Rest is the best for that. Maybe there's some light physical therapy. I'm sure that there's some more intense physical therapy, some manual treatment, some stim, some whatever they're doing, hot, cold, this, that, the other thing, that is going to help aid that along the way. But ultimately, it needs to rest as opposed to, hey, let's get it improved with the physical therapy and the rest by 10%. And then we knock 5% back in the wrong direction because we aggravate it by using it. So how do you get mental reps? How do you stay fresh? How do you make sure you know the game plan? How do you prepare for and see the opposing defense if you can't get out there with the scout team and do the stuff? Put on your goggles and play quarterback. And Jaden Daniels can learn that way. And so I'm not saying that they should intentionally hold him out just because and then play him on Sunday off just VR reps for the sake of pulling a whoopsie-daisy on the Chicago Bears. That's not what I'm saying. You know, don't do anything crazy. If he can practice, he can practice. And obviously, if he learns by doing, real reps are better than VR reps. Let's get him out there. But, to Dan's point, they have installed a bunch of stuff. He's been the one all year. They have stuff that they're ready to go. That stuff is loaded in their VR technology. That stuff can be walked through. Jaden can get ready for this game without actually participating in practice because of how he learned. But it does mean that he's not one of these guys that's not going to be able to go into the game because he hasn't practiced anything all week. It just might mean he's a little bit rusty. You know, obviously, when you're doing the VR stuff, you're not actually throwing the ball to a live receiver. So, like, there's timing and you know, practicing of your physical touch, but you're not losing that in a week. He'll go out there. He'll feel mentally prepared. He'll probably play well. And if he doesn't, it's probably going to have more to do with the Bears' defense being really good than it would be the injury. So I think it's really interesting to watch this week. My guess, if he is limited tomorrow and limited or full on Friday, that there's a really good chance that he plays. They're probably going to gamesmanship this and take this up to the you know, 2:30 on whatever, or maybe we get word Sunday morning. Maybe it's one of those midnight Schefter tweets where Adam clearly has been given a bunch of information throughout the week that said, you're not allowed to tweet this out till Sunday. And so he stays up till midnight watching college football or whatever the heck he's doing. And then, or he just schedule sends a bunch of them for midnight and then talks about them all morning on Countdown. Maybe we get one of those. Maybe we find out on Saturday because they activate Hartman off the practice squad, or like there's kind of a telltale sign. You know, Daniels downgraded to out, Hartman activated. Okay, well, now we know. We'll see. But I think there's a really good chance this thing goes until Sunday. They give it a go in pregame warmups. If he can throw, if he can run, if he can move, he plays. If any of those things are fail or not even optimal, then they probably sit him. But here we are on a Wednesday, didn't practice. I think to me that shifts things from 50-50 to like, let's call it 40-60 that he doesn't play, or 40-60 that he plays, aka only 40% chance he does. But that's a number I'm purely pulling out of my behind. And that's analysis, baby. Sports Talk Radio. Hurrah. JP Finley, he's got more information than me, so we're going to ask him for it coming up at 5 o'clock. But next, we didn't really get to vibe check yesterday because we had the breaking Jamin Davis news. So real quick at 301-230-0980, how are you feeling after Jaden's not practicing today? Then coming up at 4:30 today, Wizards Week continues here on the Hoffman Show, one-on-one with number 2 overall pick Alex Sarr. We're locked and loaded on a Wednesday on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Wizards number 2 overall pick, Alex Sarr, coming up at 4:30. And then who we got at 6:30 today? Let's go back on the old Instagram. Let's see. If you go to the Team 980 on Instagram, you'll see a little teaser for our Wizards week. That's right, Corey Kispert. Yes, Corey Kispert's going to join us at 6:30. And then tomorrow, 4:30, Jordan Poole. 5:30, Brian Keefe. 6:30, Will Dawkins here on the Hoffman Show. As tomorrow, the Wizards open things up against the Celtics team who looked like a bomb squad last night against the New York Knicks to open the NBA's season. For now, though, focused on football and Jaden Daniels not playing it today. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. And we'll see if Jaden can go. He did feel good after the game, according to Dan Quinn.
Yeah, he came out strong anyway. He was, knowing him, chomping at the bit to get going. So, really for him, the attitude's been fantastic, just like you'd expect him to be. So he's doing well.
That's great. But is he going to play? And if not, how do you feel against the Chicago Bears if you're a Commanders fan? 301-230-0980. Kind of a vibe check, even though it's a Wednesday, not a Tuesday. Let's go to Dontell. Dontell, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Oh, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Dontell? How you feeling about this Bears matchup if it's Marcus Mariota at quarterback?
Hey, man, I feel real good. And I got two scenarios here, and I'm going to tell you why I feel good. Number one, I feel good because I think Mariota's going to play. Number one, I really don't think the Bears are that good, and I don't want to rush JD5 back just because you know, an injury like this, I don't want the next light hit that he takes to hurt him. So I want him to be fully ready to go. But my thing with wanting Mariota to play is because if we end up winning 10, 11, 12 games, and let's say something really happens to Jaden down the line, I don't want the whole season to be thrown away. I want to know we got somebody that can really step in. So I want to make sure last week wasn't a fluke what Mariota did.
Dontell, I'm going to be honest, man. I think you got some real flaws in your logic there. Because Marcus Mariota is not young. Marcus Mariota is not new. Marcus Mariota is going to be what Marcus Mariota is going to be, whether he's played one game, two games, five games this season. Not that he can't improve and get a little bit more comfortable in the offense, but also if Jaden gets really hurt, like, you don't plan for your quarterback getting hurt. You do to an extent when you build a roster, you bring in, say, a quarterback who plays a similar style. But like, if Jaden gets hurt in December going into the playoffs, they're screwed. Their chances of winning as many games as they were going to drop tremendously. And so I think your first point of, even though it's not necessarily a contact thing that they're worried about with this particular injury, the idea that him maybe avoiding a hit even could retweak something. If he has a re-injury risk, I probably don't want to risk it this weekend. But I think if you're trying to prepare for the future, like, you don't prepare for the future without your number one overall or your number two overall draft pick. You try to make sure that he's there for every bit of it that you can.
I agree with you 100%, man. But I just with his style of play, man, I want to make sure that we got somebody that can back him up.
Of course. I appreciate the call, Dontell. And this is, I think, an interesting thing because I heard Linnell and Rooster talking about this. They I think Linnell wanted to do this topic and then they didn't today. So maybe they'll do it tomorrow on Throwdown Thursday. Your feelings, this is the harsh version of it. I'm just warning everybody, I'm gonna be very blunt here. Your feelings don't matter when it comes to Jaden Daniels' durability. And what I mean by that is actually empowering, not any other way. What I mean by that is Jaden Daniels is not going to be hurt or less hurt based off how scared you are. And so there's just a reality that exists about his durability, which through college was really good. And this hit was super weird. But it doesn't matter how you feel about it. Not to say you're not entitled to your feelings. It's just you being extra worried isn't going to make him less likely to be hurt. The reality is he's playing football, and football is a contact sport. In fact, football is a collision sport, and sometimes the depth and violence of those collisions cause injuries. Sometimes the awkwardness, such as this one. If he had just kept running and kind of gotten tackled as opposed to doing the weird backward stiff arm thing that he did, like, I don't know that he gets bent in the way that he does. And because of that now, I'm more scared of him getting, like, throwing or juking and twisting and getting hurt based off what I'm pretty sure the injury is, just based off process of elimination of what Dan said, versus getting crushed from the backside and just absolutely blown up in the pocket. Which is funny because generally speaking, I'm far more concerned about him getting absolutely crushed in the pocket than I am him getting hit out in the open field. And I say all that to say, the idea of his style of play or his durability, I just don't really buy a lot into it, even though he's hurt right now. Like, Anthony Richardson clearly has a worse injury history than Jaden Daniels. And if you look at those two athletes, that doesn't make a lot of sense if bigger, stronger is supposed to be the thing that buys you durability. Anthony Richardson's built like a tank. He's been hurt way more than Jaden Daniels in the past 4 or 5 years of them playing football. And by the way, Jaden's played more football in that time. One, because he's older, even though Richardson was a rookie last year. And two, because he's been more durable. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Sam. Sam, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig. Thanks for having me. Really like the show. I really like the way that you guys use a lot of different avenues to get your show out to everybody. So it's
Thank
pretty
you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, so here's what I was thinking. If Jaden doesn't play on Sunday, the one thing that concerns me most about the Bears will be impacted. And hear me out. It's our defense. If Mariota plays, and I think he'd do well, but doesn't control the game and lengthy drives as well as Jaden would possibly, that means our defense is on the field more often. And that's where we're suspect, especially in the secondary and the weapons that they have.
Sam, it's a great point. And I actually, peeling back the curtain here for a second, just recorded a crossover podcast literally an hour ago with Dan Wiederman, who does the Take the North podcast, which is like the Bears version of Take Command in Chicago. And we were talking about the Bears defense, and he goes, the area where they have been super special, why they have held 12 straight opponents under 21 points, is because they turn the football over. And I think, yes, the game management part Jaden has been spectacular at. I think Marcus can do a pretty good impression of that, because some of that is just strictly play calling of Cliff making sure that there's a fair amount of running and the screen game and all this kind of stuff. The area that scares the daylights out of me, that does go back to your point of how the offense and the defense attach, is that Marcus is more turnover prone. He has had really bad stretches of turnovers in his career where Jaden has been extremely fastidious with the football. And I do think with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and some of the weapons they have, I have some reasons why I think Washington's defense can play well this weekend. But the more chances, the more shots that the Bears have at it, there's no question that they are more potent offensively if they get some extra opportunities.
Without a doubt. And it can only be, I mean, one or two turnovers could make a significant difference when we are as porous as we are on the back end.
For sure. Hey, Sam, great call, and thanks for the kind words. Really appreciate it. 301-230-0980. Let's go to Brian in Alexandria. Brian, I've been told you have a question for me. Fire away.
Craig, just a clarifying question. I want to be clear.
Yeah.
Are you saying that Jaden Daniels' frame had nothing to do with how he got folded up in that long run?
Yeah, I would say it has very, very minimal to nothing to do. Yes, I think that Anthony Richardson, to use the same guy I was comparing him to, could have gotten folded up the same way.
Oh, come on, Craig. You're being, not an optimist, but you're smarter than me in terms of words. You're being something, Craig.
I'm being something. I've been accused of worse, Brian.
hey, Craig, listen. You can look at that. You're a kinesiology expert, man. You can look at that and you can just tell the way he got folded. Somebody who was bigger and stronger, no Diddy, would not have gotten folded up like that. Come on, Craig. And I'm a Jaden Daniels guy.
It's,
and full disclosure,
not,
context is this.
Yeah.
I coming in, that was my main concern. Like, man, this frame, there are some weird things that can happen in the NFL, and he just seems more susceptible to those weird things. And in a homies group chat, we were arguing, and one of my friends was like, that was a freak hit. I said, freak hit? He grabbed him from behind and folded him like a pretzel because he was so skinny. That doesn't happen to somebody with a more muscular frame. I'll hang up and listen. I don't want to hold up your calls, but thanks for letting me get
in. Yeah, Brian, I think you're on to something potentially, but here's what I would tell you. Dudes in the NFL are so strong that the difference in an extra 10 pounds on a dude's upper half of folding a guy over or not, I don't think is really going to be the difference. I think your core strength, I think your leg strength, of which Jaden has a ton, like, I think that matters. Like, would that happen to Jalen Hurts? Maybe not. And maybe in that way, I need to maybe slightly adjust my answer of like, did it have something to do? Probably. But Jalen Hurts is like a world-class like squatter. He squats like 600 pounds. And so, yeah, tackling him in the open field is harder. If it's Derrick Henry at 6'2", 235, moving at 22 miles an hour, sure. But I think it has more to do with kind of the speed and the angles that the tackle happened at, where if Jaden had just been able to shake free and be running full speed, he like kind of slowed down and was looking back and stiff arming. He gave a lot of surface area for them to grab at with his arm. Like, dude, just tuck the football, like hug it, two-hand grip style, like you're going through a hole. Pat Mahomes does this at the end of his run sometimes. And I'm not even talking about when he ran over Mustafa this weekend. Just whoom, hold the football like it's the most precious thing in the world. Put your head down, lean your shoulders forward, and keep running. And make them bring you down. Make them try to trip you up. Or take that position and dive and go forward or slide. But I think part of the reason it happened is while the contact was happening, it looked like Jaden tried to go down. So all of a sudden they're pulling, like he's not in control of the fall. it is freaky. Maybe it's influenced some by their ability to move him around, not having quite as much girth as a Jalen Hurts, let's say. But I don't think his frame puts him at any extra risk. And by the way, the history of the NFL would tell you that is true. There is not a bunch of skinny dudes that are left in injury piles for in terms of why they failed at the quarterback position. Lighter quarterbacks typically fail because they're easy to bring down in the pocket, and a lot of them are smaller and can't see. That's the history of the league, not injuries. Kirk Cousins is the lightest quarterback that's been successful in the league until he popped his Achilles on a totally random play. Nothing to do with contact. Like, he was fine. Robert had injury issues that had nothing to do with his frame. That dude couldn't move laterally, all due respect. He was a sprinter. He was straight ahead. And some of the stuff that he did didn't really work. If you guys want to drop, like, on the YouTube chat or something, some other examples of guys, I'm happy to take a look. But I think that there is a little bit of, I saw someone in the chat say ghost of RG3, and people think that there's a ghost, and I'm just sitting here being like, there's no ghosts. We're not in a haunted house. The guy who haunted the house left. It's not relevant. They're different athletes in every single way imaginable. 301-230-0980 is the phone number. We can get back to some calls a little bit later on in the show. But as promised, next, Wizards, number 2 overall pick, Alex Sarr, got the chance to catch up with him at Media Day, and that is where we kick off our Wizards Week Wednesday next on the Team 980. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well. Chat's popping again today. Fun to see that continue to grow. You can also listen to us live on the free Odyssey app. I think I said that already, but basically there's no excuse. If you like the show, we got ways that you can consume it. And if you miss it live on demand, just search the Hoffman Show podcast wherever it is that you get yours. Those numbers are going up too. Anthony, basically, as far as I can tell, we're pretty popular.
Love to see it, man. And love to hear it.
Here's what I would tell anyone listening right now. You're still in kind of on the ground floor. But you can tell your friends, and then you can be you can be that person who liked the cool thing before everybody liked it.
We would love if everybody liked the show.
And not for real.
It's good for our paychecks.
All right, here's what we got coming up on the rest of the show today. JP Finley is going to join us live from Ashburn at 5 o'clock. So if you want more on the Jaden Daniels injury front, JP has it 5 p.m. Do not miss that for sure. Competition Wednesday at 5:30. How did we do last week against the spread? And we'll pick 3 more games for this upcoming weekend. Pick 6 at 6. You'll hear from Dan Quinn and Marcus Mariota. And then Wizards Wednesday continues at 6:30 with our chat with Corey Kisper. But right now, one-on-one with the number 2 overall pick, Alex Sarr. This was our last interview from Wizards Media Day chronologically, which will make sense in 3, 2, and 1. All right, last interview of the day. Alex Sarr, number 2 overall pick in the 2024 NBA draft. You said this is only like your 3rd and 4th. So you're not too fatigued of Media Day, even though we're getting near the end here.
Yeah, I'm actually doing good right now. Yes, sir.
Doing all right. All right, so you, like, the places that you have lived and played is like a vacation dream list. You know, you played at Real Madrid, so you played in Spain, obviously, came here, overtime elite. You go to Australia, now you're back. You grew up in France. My question for you, Alex, based off all of that, is like, how has that mix of cultures helped shape you as a young man, but also getting to experience all those different basketball cultures, melding you into what you are now as a still a prospect, obviously getting started here on your NBA journey?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it definitely helped me just learning how to adapt to different places. You know, like when I moved to Spain, I was 14. I had to like get to know different type of people. I actually met Tristan Vucevic, who is on the team now. So, you know, it just made me learn, you know, how to interact with new people I didn't know. And I feel like that's definitely helped me in my game and just as a person.
What's something that you feel like you picked up along the way? We can just go, you know, through. Like, what's something that you think from, you know, growing up in France, French culture, and by the way, I was there this summer. I love France, love French culture. I think that like the French worldview is very interesting. But for you, like, what is something that you look at about yourself that you're like, that is quintessentially French?
That's a good question. I would probably say just the fact that I like a lot of different type of food. I feel like, you know, that's what, like, growing up in France made me. You know, like, I like duck. I like duck liver. You know, like, I like different type of stuff that, you know, maybe if I didn't grow up in France, I wouldn't like.
So, kind of a creative, willing to try stuff. Does that apply outside of food, do you think? Poole is like, hey, I'm going to go try this crazy thing. Are you like, yeah, I'm down?
I mean, it depends. It depends what crazy thing we're talking
about.
If I had
said someone other than Jordan Poole, would it have been different?
No, I mean, like, you know, if he tells me, like, let's go on a hike, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, I would be open to it, you know, like stuff like that. I feel like just being open-minded, I guess, you know, being from France and Europe.
What about when you get to Australia? I know you talked about this in some pre-draft interviews. As a basketball player, I'll focus on more now. What is something that changed for you in your year playing in Perth?
Yeah, I mean, it was like my first real like professional year, you know, like playing with grown men, you know, in a professional league, with travels and everything. So it was really interesting for me to like learn habits about how to take care of my body, how to bounce back from game, how to scout, you know, like watching film. So, you know, it was a lot of growth, I think. And yeah, it definitely helped me tremendously.
Obviously, your conversations with Will Dawkins went well enough that he took you number two in the draft. What were your first impressions of him?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of already knew Will from the Thunder because my brother used to play there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he kind of just felt like I already knew him before I talked with him. But, you know, like, I felt like, you know, he's a really motivated guy. He knows where the franchise is going, and I was fitting for that. So, you know, I guess it was an easy choice.
Obviously, you've had to adapt in the multiple places, like you talked about, going to Spain, to Australia, coming here. What has the adaptation been like this time, and how much has it helped having Bilal, having Keyshawn, some guys around the building? You can speak your native language, you understand where you came from. And I don't know if you had that in some of your other stops.
Yeah, I feel like it was really natural for me this time, like as an adaptation. Like, I feel like everybody around me was really genuine, you know, wanted the best for me. And, you know, I try to learn as much as I can from everybody here because they have way more NBA experience than I do right now. So, you know, I'm just learning, asking questions, and, you know, trying to get to know the guys.
One of the things that they've talked about quite a bit is the goals and how they set goals here, right? Obviously, eventually the goal is to win and sustain winning. But in order to get there, there's all these steps along the way. What's that been like to come into that environment and have whatever your goals are? I don't know if you guys have even had those meetings yet, but whatever the goals are laid out very distinctly in front of you.
I think it's really good as a player to, like, you know, like, obviously everybody has goals, but, you know, to have them like written down and to have people that actually knows where your goal is so they can hold you accountable. You know, like every 10 games, I think we have like a meeting to talk about, you know, where are we compared to our goals. And I think it's good because you never like fall into the flow of the season where you're just like, oh, another game, another game. You keep that in mind. And I feel like, you know, that's what's going to help me just keep improving.
What have been your first impressions of Brian as your head coach?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, just we haven't really started training camp yet, but just over the pickup games, you know that what we want is to be a really defensive-minded team that plays with a fast pace and has a lot of movement offensively. And, you know, that's stuff that I like. That's stuff that I feel like fits me as a player. So, you know, I like his way of coaching.
Will, when he was here, what time is it? Oh, about 3 hours ago. He said that he's relying on, and not just he, the team, is relying on you and Bilal a lot as anchors for that defensive side of it. Obviously, there's pressure that comes with that, but, like, is that something that's exciting? Is it nerve-wracking? Like, how do you feel about knowing that you have, even though you're a rookie, like, real responsibility on this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really exciting. The whole team wants to be a better defensive team, obviously. That's how you win games. You don't allow a lot of points, you know. So Bilal is a really good defender. I think I'm a really good defender too. So, you know, I think we can have an impact, the two of us.
Do you communicate at all in French on the court, and can that be used as a weapon defensively against your opponents?
I actually do sometimes, but when I do, it's mostly when I'm talking straight to him, because when I'm actually in the scheme.
Well, yeah, that would be very bad. Although Jordan said that he's been working on his French a lot.
So. Yeah, actually, you know,
is he doing
comes
okay?
Up to us, he talks in French, but yeah, he's doing great. He's doing all right.
Okay, that's good. How have you liked Washington, D.C. so far?
It's been cool. You know, I haven't visited much stuff yet, but
do you have like a list of things that you want to do?
No, I don't, but that's definitely something I want to do, like maybe visit a few museums, maybe. But yeah, you can see like it's a, I'm not going to be bored here, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, that's the thing though. It's like Paris has some of the best museums. Like a lot of the stuff that people like in D.C., I think is in Paris. Yeah. Just the Paris version is better. So you, yeah. Like, I love it here. This is my home now. I've been here for almost 10 years, but like that is, that's a hard bar to hit.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's, I don't know. I'm sure the National Art Gallery and stuff is great, but like you have Le Musée d'Orsay and. Like,
yeah. It's different. It's two different things.
It's different. But I will say for someone who likes a lot of different food, you're in the right city.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bunch of different stuff to try. Every cuisine you can think of is here. So
yes,
welcome to the city. Enjoy. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of fun watching you this year. Appreciate your time here on the radio and on the internet.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, that was Alex Saar with us on Media Day. Corey Kispert also sat down at the table. You will hear that conversation coming up at 6:30. We wrap up the hour. A few more thoughts on Jaden Daniels, amongst other things, next. And then JP Finley, 5 o'clock on Daniels' potential to play against the Chicago Bears on Sunday. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. Whoa. Also live on the free Odyssey app. Ahem. Sorry, that's a fine. I shouldn't have done that. Even if it was a joke, Anthony. Some poor soul is walking around in headphones right now, and I just cleared my throat. It's one thing if I do it to you in your car speakers. That's not as bad. If I just clear my throat into a pair of AirPods for you, I sincerely apologize. That's unprofessional. I should know better.
Yeah.
Especially considering, I think the boss listens to the show in AirPods all the time.
Yep. And would have been a fine, you know?
We still have the fine board. It's back here.
Have we just done that good of a job?
We just haven't really used, I mean, we really kind of did find ourselves out of some bad habits.
Yeah.
Which was good for you in the nick of time because you had 1, 2, 3, let's say 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55 points on the board.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Okay. I had 5, 10, 15, 20, 40. So we were one, like if I wrote down that fine for me,
yeah,
you would have had to pay for 55% of lunch. And we would have just hit another one.
Mm.
The fine board.
Yeah.
Some people have been not even listening long enough to know that we had a fine board. And basically it's not like we did do better. But also, the marker died.
Ah, is that really what happened?
Yep.
I never knew.
Yep. I went to go write down. I was like, oh, we need to get a new marker. I meant to order one, and I just never did.
Nice.
But we also haven't needed it. We've done a good job until right then when I tried to make a joke and then realized that was against the rules.
Yeah.
So the point is that the Mystics fired Mike Tebow and Eric Tebow. Technically, they parted ways. I mean, it's that or you get fired. That's how it goes. Hey, I don't think that we're going in the same direction. If your boss says that to you, you can either go, I agree, or go, you're wrong. And either way, you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And I think this is really interesting. And I did a big deep dive on this with Kareem Copeland of the Washington Post earlier this afternoon. That is available on our women's sports YouTube page at Hoffman W Sports, and search Hoffman Women's Sports in your favorite podcast app if you want the audio version of that. But when Kareem and I went through it, Anthony, it's actually really interesting, and it is Wizards adjacent as well. And again, we'll get back to the Commanders coming up in 10 minutes. JP Finley is going to join us with the latest on Jaden Daniels' injury. So definitely stay tuned for that if you're into the Commanders or trying to find out the latest on Jaden. We got you covered coming up in Not My Beat, as we do every day with the top story. But it was interesting because if you trace Michael Winger and his specific involvement in the Wizards and the Mystics, this actually is a long time coming. So when he was introduced at like the first press conference that was over at Capital One Arena, and he and Will and everybody's up there on stage, and Ted, and there's questions and we're doing interviews and the whole deal. Russell and I were there, sat down. Someone asked him, I think it was Ava, said, like, what's your role with the Mystics? Like, how do you think of this role as president of Monumental Basketball? And in short, his answer was basically paraphrased to, Mike Tebow's there. I'm not doing a whole lot. Like, I trust Mike T. He's a legend. He's the all-time winningest coach in the history of the league. They had just made the move at that point to hire Eric. You know, Mike's the GM. I'm not going to do better than Mike Tebow at WNBA stuff. And so he just spent the first year kind of observing. Hey, let's see. And he, you know, he gets the job in what, like April? So right at the beginning of the WNBA season. Maybe it's even May that they take those jobs. He and Will Dawkins, of course, the Wizards GM. And they have so much work to do on the Wizards side that, hey, I'll go to the Mystics game. I'm sure he watched a ton of them. Like, he's paying attention. He's smart and he knows how to manage his time. But there's not a lot of involvement there. Draft comes in, goes around. NBA season goes around, the whole deal, whatever order, that all that stuff that I just said happened. And come to the end of the press conference, or end of year press conference for the Wizards after the first year of them in charge. So rewind to April again. And Michael, in one of his answers, goes, I'm, you know, hey, what's next? I'm going to go spend a little bit more time with the Sticks. And it was actually funny because Ava Wallace of the Post didn't even recognize what he said. And she's like, the what? He's like, the Sticks, the Mystics. And she's like, oh, have fun. And Michael at that point, like, clearly is more engaged with the Mystics side of the operation. And then who's missing all of a sudden at all the preseason media stuff this year for the Wizards? Michael Winger, right? It's all Will Dawkins on all of the public-facing stuff. It's no longer Michael and Will. Like, Will's talking about Michael. Michael's still very much involved and behind the scenes, obviously. But Will's now got a year of experience, and I think that they had settled a bunch of stuff. They got Will a lot of the staff and support that he needed. Not like he needed to be babysat, just like that he wanted. That it's like, okay, now I'm not doing seven jobs. I can do mine. Part of his job was hiring those other seven people or 10 people or 12 people. Leontis mentioned that to me the other day. Like, there's like 50 new people working in Monumental Basketball since Michael and Will got here. And so all of a sudden, pretty clear Michael's working on other stuff, or got a little more time to work on other stuff. And I think as they got into these meetings, based off Kareem's reporting, this is exactly what happened. They got into these meetings and they had different visions for the franchise, which puts everything up in the air now, because Michael wants to build the Mystics through the draft. He'll go find a GM, or maybe the assistant GM that's been here. It could get elevated. Those are on the table. I mean, this just happened a couple hours ago, but I'm sure he's got some semblance of a plan of various directions he could go, even if they're vague and not specific yet. But I think the way they built the Wizards is how they're going to want to build the Mystics. This is a group that wants to build through the draft, one. Two, they want to play up-tempo, really hard-nosed defense, and shoot a ton of threes. And on top of the kind of five pillars of their organization, the joy, the competitiveness, the togetherness, like all character type of stuff, they also distinctly want to play basketball a certain way. And I think that style can work in the W as well. And if your team is being built by someone who takes Shakira Austin over Ryan Howard, the number one pick a couple years ago in Atlanta that Washington traded out of. Ryan Howard was on the 3-on-3 Olympic team this year and is one of the best young players in the league. Shakira's been fantastic when healthy, but different style of player. Different things are clearly being valued. And then, you know, they took Aaliyah Edwards as opposed to Angel Reese or a guard or whatever. Like, I love Aaliyah. I think she's a great player, and I think Aaliyah can fit with just about anyone. But they also were like, hey, Ariel Atkins can be the star of this team. And clearly that is not a role. Like, A is an A-plus role player, but if she's your best player, I don't know that that's her highest and best use. And I think some of those miscalculations probably have to play into this. And ultimately, with two enormously important drafts coming up, where they're probably going to have high picks, and they are loaded from a talent standpoint, I think Michael wanted someone else to make the picks. And I think that's why we got to where we are today.
Yeah. And to be honest, I was thinking about it last year when, you know, we were winning games, and I'm praying. not necessarily praying that we lose, but like
we all wanted that we the number one pick in Paige Beckers, and we don't know. We still could get it, but like, holy crap, it'd be cool if they had the number one lottery odds and a 44% as opposed to the 11% that they have.
I think that might have also had a little part. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. Not. Maybe. I think it's hard to fault someone for winning games. And to their, like, look, I said this at the time. I don't think that Eric was trying. Like, they were playing the end of their bench, severely restricting their starters' minutes. And, like, Eric can't not coach the team, and he can't tell those players not to try. The problem was they actually played better than they were supposed to. So there was that.
What was that during the season then?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
It's a great question, right?
I think that's part of the reason probably there's been some changes. But yeah, Mystics move on from the Tebows, both of them. We'll see what they do moving forward here in the next couple of weeks. Next big thing on the WNBA calendar is the expansion draft that is on December 6th. And actually, let me see. WNBA draft lottery. When do we find out? Who will get draft lottery 2025 is on Sunday, November 17th. So a month, less than a month away. That's exciting. I would like to know who's going to get the number one pick, because I do think that, by the way, the hiring cycle in terms of when the Mystics get a coach probably might be on hold till then, because I think a lot of coaches are going to want to see who gets the number one pick. Because if I am a coach and I can go coach Paige Beckers, Cam Brink, and Rakia Jackson in LA versus just Cam Brink and Rakia Jackson, or I can have Paige and Aaliyah here, or Paige and Angel Reese in Chicago, or whatever it may be, I think that that's probably going to affect my decision. But we'll see, because also the ownership situations, the best ownership situation of the open jobs here by a lot, and that's going to matter as well. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. When we get back, J.P. Finley talking about the Commanders and how they proceed without Jaden Daniels, and if they'll have to proceed without Jaden Daniels.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.